Without trust, society stagnates.
Economies decline.
And businesses fail.
My Security Media believes through security,
trust between individuals,
organisations,
and government can be maintained. Welcome to the
Cybersecurity
Weekly Podcast.
Hi, I'm Maury Morgan, and welcome to the Cybersecurity Weekly Podcast. In this interview, Chris Cubbage talks to Sandra Ragg, First Assistant Secretary of the Office of Cybersecurity Special Advisor for the Prime Minister and Cabinet, and Narelle Devine, the Chief Information Security Officer for the Department of Human Services at the Women in Cybersecurity Mentoring event in Sydney. Sandra and Narelle discuss their roles at the Women in Cyber Mentoring event, the growing roadmap and careers for women in cyber, and the need to elevate cybersecurity within the everyday lives of Australians. Now, here they are, Chris Cubbage, Sandra Ragg and Narelle Devine.
I'm joined by Sandra Ragg, the First Assistant Secretary of the Office of the Cybersecurity Special Advisor for the Department of the Prime Minister and Cabinet. Sandra, thanks for joining us.
Thank you.
And Narelle Devine, the Chief Information Security Officer for the Department of Human Services. Narelle, thanks for joining us.
Thank you.
You two gave an introduction this morning to a round table. There's some of the photos are online already, to about 18 women in the room, varying in ages, and even a couple from New Zealand as well. In fact, I'm going to hand over to Sandra. Just introduce us to the Women in Cyber Mentoring event, and what are some of the outcomes that you're looking for out of today and the two-day event, actually?
The Department of Prime Minister and Cabinet sponsors a Capture the Flag 24-hour hacking competition. And we had such a low number of female participants in previous years that we wanted to do something that really encouraged women to come into participate in the event, but just to open their eyes to the fantastic jobs that exist in the industry today.
With some of the ladies around the table at that event, there was 38, I believe, and two full female team. So are they here as well? What was the selection process for today?
That's right. We've offered this Women in Cyber Mentoring event to all the participants who participated in that challenge. And again, it was only 8.6% of the students were women. So it was a way of trying to increase the numbers in the competition. But again, as I said, just to access a broader range of role models within the field.
And Narelle, it's obviously very important from your position, a Chief Information Security Officer, to provide that. Where's my roadmap in terms of a career for some of the girls? And, you know, sorry to show my age, but you know, there's some of the younger ones here. But there was a mixed age. Maybe just introduce us to your journey so far and your career. I understand you transitioned from the Navy, from defence into your role. What are some of the challenges there? Because I think defence gives you a lot of that fundamental training in from a defence and security perspective. How have you taken that into your role as CISO for THS?
So certainly moving across has been challenging, but a wonderful experience. So I had a fabulous career in the Navy, and it certainly established me and gave me some excellent skills that I could move across. But probably the key thing for me was that the adversary is the same. It doesn't matter what you're trying to protect within government or major corporates or industry. It is similar. And so the skills and the training that I got certainly from being in that domain in the military has made a really easy transition. And it's just really moving from national security to protecting people's personal information and money.
Well, one of the areas you covered was the scale for DHS as a major government department. Just maybe talk us through some of the numbers and the economic importance, and I think that underlines the importance of cybersecurity in the topic that we've got to discuss.
Yeah, so certainly. So we run MyGov, Centrelink, Medicare, child support, and a lot of the other underpinning programs underneath those. We have 25 million customers. You know, if you interact with government, you usually interact with us as that first entry point. So we hold a lot of personal information. We move just under $200 billion a year of money around Australia. And we have just under 300,000 authentications each day. So size and scale, if we're offline, we impact the economy very quickly. we have significant impact. So it's really important for us to be cyber secure.
And Sandra, I suppose that comes back from your role and with the Department of Prime Minister and Cabinet is to elevate cyber security to that highest level. And something that Narelle touched on is that the challenge, or is that getting across in terms of dealing with the challenge of the narrative for the Australian public to understand the importance of cybersecurity?
Yeah, I think that's right. We've seen the conversations really shifted from cybersecurity being an issue of national security, of intelligence agencies and so forth. But it's something that's important to our everyday lives. It's a matter of social and economic enablement as we move and live our lives online and adopt these fantastic new technologies that can be so much great benefit to the way that we do our work, the way that we live our lives, but we need to have trust and confidence in those technologies. So, yes, there's a national security piece, but actually it's much bigger than that.
And, Narelle, one of the things, again, you touched on, and because it is such an important issue, it requires cultural change. You touched on work environment change and some of those, you know, it sounds like a very different work environment than what we would have started our careers in. It's much more structured. And you're talking about open environments. Maybe just talk through some of that, and is that being adopted, and is that something that women need to get them into to the sector?
I think it's really important for us to provide a workplace that's not just flexible and adaptive, but that works for each individual. So everybody will have their own circumstance and they will know how they best perform, whether that be the environment, the working hours, the people that they interact with, whether it's individual or a team. You have to spend the time and the investment getting to understand each and every person and working out how best they work, and then giving them the tools and the opportunity to work to the best of their ability. And we've really tried to embrace that model and move away from a very structured. We obviously have shift systems. We are a 24/7 shop. So there is an element of, if you're a watchkeeper, you have to be there for that particular time. But there's an awful lot of our business model that means we're very outcome focused, and if you can achieve the outcome and you have a good way of doing it, then you just need to let us know what that is.
And Sandra, in closing, in terms of that work environment across government but also the corporate sector, is that something you're seeing as you travel around as well and the government supporting?
Absolutely. The nature of work is changing in our society, and I think as governments we need to embrace that. And in part that's what gives, I guess, access to a range of different people, more diverse workforce that have an opportunity to think about the problems in different ways, and that helps us tackle this, you know, fast-paced, changing threat environment that we operate in. So it's actually integral to what we do.
Well, look, I'll close it there. Thank you very much. Would have been good to spend some more time. But good luck with the two events. The girls are off walking around Commonwealth Bank at the moment, and then they're off to the University of New South Wales tomorrow. I might see if I can tag along as well. But thank you very much, Sandra Ragg and Narelle Devine. Thank you very much.
Thank you.